This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, family and friends. I just want to welcome you today. Thank you for joining me, Renette Meiburg, on K Pulpit. And as you know, this is the program where we speak about real life and when things don't always work out for us. And we have an exceptionally unique, beautiful lady with us today. And her name is Anique Boortis. And she is a tongue cancer survivor. When you hear her speak, you are going to be amazed how she is using this journey of hers to glorify the Lord. So we're going to chat with her after this, and I'll welcome her. And she has got so much, such an amazing testimony to share with us. Hi there. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. And we have Anique Boortis in the studio with me today. And Anique, thank you so much. It's such a privilege to have you here. And it's such an honor because I have just recently met you, known about you, but recently met you. And I'm absolutely in awe what the Lord has done for you in your life. So Anique, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Renette, for the opportunity, and it's really an honor to be on this program, and I believe it's a time that God organizing this whole session, and it's all for the glory of Him.
Amen. As you can hear, Anique is a tongue cancer survivor, and she had her tongue actually removed. So, Anique, just tell us your journey. It's happened, started out 20 years ago. Hey, so just give us a little bit of background. You know, I know you're married and you've got two beautiful daughters, but just give us the challenges that you've experienced in these last 20 years. That's 20 years is a very long time to be battling cancer.
Well, this road, I never wanted to walk, but I think deep down I knew, and maybe God had prepared me for this. He knows what He's doing in my life, and I'm not in control anymore. So I'm just going to share with you the journey that I was on, and how it all started in 2001. I was a teaching at a private school, and I noticed a white patch on my tongue on the one side. And a year later, the white patch grew larger, and it would not go away, and I was treated with antibiotics. And they did a biopsy in Pretoria at the Throat Academy, and it was non-cancerous. So I left it at that, wasn't worried, and we moved to Cape Town in 2004, after we had confirmation from God and from His Word that we have to move. And my first diagnosis was here in Cape Town, and I believe there was also a reason for that. I had a wonderful team of specialists and doctors that was over me. God is really a God of Cape Town, you know. He is looking at finer detail things in your life, and I can see His hand in them. So I was still teaching in Cape Town, but that patch grew larger and larger, and I started to feel pain in my left side of my neck and ear. And my GP was treating me with antibiotics, and after 2 weeks there was no improvement. So I went to the hospital for a biopsy, and the results came back, and unfortunately, he said to me, "I'm sorry, but you have infiltrating cancer on all four of the cancer parts on your tongue." And I was in so much shock, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. You know, the word cancer is just such a devastating word. But I remember asking my daughter to walk with me around the block. I remember my husband was doing renovations at home. I told him, but there was no good action. I think the shock was just too overwhelming. And I had to just get out of the house. I walked around the block. And when I was back, I went into my room. And I fell on the floor and I cried out to God. I took my Bible and I opened my Bible. And I looked up and I said, Father, speak to me. And I opened up at Jeremiah 30 verse 17. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds. Then I knew that whatever this journey holds for me, God is in control of my life and I can trust him because he gave me a promise and I stood on that promise till today, every day of my life. So there was a hospital admission and they had to raise the cupcake of my tongue to see how deep the cancer infiltrated in my tongue. And 2 weeks after that, they get a geyser again, the deep geyser, which was a very long procedure, and I was 2 days in intensive care. And I was moved into a private room. Now, God, you know, gives you favor. There was not a private room available, but in the heart unit there were a room available. I could have my privacy. My children was in grade 3 and grade 7. And they could visit me anytime, doing their homework, be with mommy, and the trauma with them was not that, you know, overwhelming. Yes. So they could visit me anytime. At that stage, Isaiah 41 verse 10 was very special to me. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So the word of God plays a huge role, you know, in this journey and to trust God fully, you know. 2 weeks after that, I had to do the neck dissection. The aim of this procedure is to remove lymph nodes from the one side into which cancer cell may have migrated. It was a 5-hour procedure in theatre, so it was like a hectic. I mean, it was 2 weeks after the first day into the next geyser, into the neck dissection, so my body was so weak. But you know what? I was dismissed and I could go home, but that evening I was overwhelmed with anxiety and I was back in ER. But yeah, that, in that first operation, it was very, very traumatic. But that was the first part of my journey and I've healed very well. I had a journey every year where I had to go for geyser, getting my specialist, but she sees something on my tongue, a white patch or inflammation. And we didn't know what was causing this inflammation. So I had to endure geysers yearly, sometimes twice a year. Mm. But 9 years later, just before my 47th birthday, in March 2017, I never thought that I would sit in front of that panel of specialists again and I could go through this whole thing over again, but worse.
Yes, I can imagine.
Yeah, so again, I went to my GP and it was putting me on antibiotics and the pain got so tremendous, I couldn't eat. It was impossible to eat. My ear was hurting, my neck and jaw was in constant pain. At that time, I was working at a family business because I went out of teaching children because of my tongue.
Yes.
And teaching was my passion, so it was difficult for me.
Very difficult to leave, I'm sure.
But the growth was this time in the middle of my tongue and was very inflammatory, and it just grew larger very quickly. It was like a size of a grape. And, you know, I was really, I was just wondering, God, is this my life now? Is cancer my life now? And I felt as if there were no purpose anymore. So I was admitted into hospital, and the biopsy was going on 7 places on my tongue, and the middle part was cancer. And at first I cancelled the operation because I really believed God could help me. And that, it looked like as if that part was lifting, and I crushed God. I was seeking God intensively in my room. And then a bacteria came in. And my daughter said to me, "Mommy, please go for that operation." So, and that is when the fear came in.
Yes.
And,
understandably, huh?
You know, it's my life, you know. So, and God uses the medical field.
Absolutely.
And specialists and doctors to help you. And yes, I do believe in miracles, but you know, sometimes God chooses to walk a journey, a healing journey with you. So, I was put on medication, chemotherapy, for 2 weeks because my surgeon was going on leave, and patches for the pain, which I was allergic to. So I was so sick and nausea and had fever and cold sweat and extreme tiredness. Now, I was walking this road now for 9 years, removal of cancer on 4 places on my tongue, back pain, and basically hearing cases, and pre-cancer cells were removed, and chronic inflammation and pain. And I was then scheduled for this huge surgery on the 13th of June, which was an 8-hour surgery, where I removed, I'm going to explain it to you in medical terms because it was a very difficult procedure. It's a removal of the cancer through reconstruction surgery and skin graft free flap surgery that involves a cutting a very thin pliable skin and artery and vein from my radial forearm, and then sewn to the artery and vein near the wound to give the flap a new blood supply. And this would be done through a neck dissection, this time on the other side, the right side.
Yes, Anik, I actually would like to speak to you and hear what the actual procedure was. So we're going to listen to a track quickly, and then we can get back to that because I know it was very traumatic. And, I think we need to understand sometimes the process of, how these surgeries work, because there's a lot of preparation. And a lot of emotional preparation as well, hey? So we're going to quickly just listen to the next track, and then we can come back to you just explaining that to us. Wow. Thank you for joining me this afternoon, Renate, on my program called Rise. And today we've got Anik Boortis in the studio with me. And wow, what a journey, Anik. You have really had a lot that you've had to deal with. And we were just sharing before we ended on our break, the fact that you had to now make a decision on losing your tongue. And, I mean, the preparation for that must have been emotionally so taxing for you and your family? I mean, just give us a brief scenario of what it looked like. I mean, obviously with a skin graft, I mean, that was incredible that they actually could do that. So just explain to us the whole procedure, please.
Okay, so this procedure for the removal of the cancer through reconstruction surgery and skin graft free flap surgery, that involves cutting a very thin pliable skin and artery and vein from my forearm and then sewing to an artery and vein near the wound to give the flap a new blood supply. This would be done through a neck resection, and with this whole procedure explained to me, huge fear came over me because it's not only in the tongue, it's on the forearm and the wound underneath my stomach. They had to also take a piece of skin there and sew it onto my arm. So there were lots of wounds, you know, also in the neck, and the neck section itself was the first time very traumatic for me, worse than the geyser on the tongue. So I was there in the ICU for 4 days. I barely moved. I couldn't remember anything. It was just too traumatic with all the pipes and drainage pipes and feeding tubes and, it was hectic. I remember I was allergic to the patches and I was just getting hot and warm and irritated. Now I can't speak and there was a sickness on my tongue. It was very swollen. And the nurse would come in and prick my tongue and just to make sure that the blood flow is there. You know, that my body's not rejecting that tongue. So I was like a relief every time she did that. So that was quite a hectic time, you know. But I was in 1 week's time in a private room again. And I was there for about a week, and then I was discharged. And at home, I was so weak, and the anxiety was overwhelming me again of how am I going to cope with this new tongue flap, and how will I survive? So I was back in ER for a day where I had an anxiety attack.
Sure.
But yes, the journey went on, and in October that same year, the growth on my tongue was like it was overgapping my teeth. So I was biting on my teeth when I started to eat certain foods, and yeah, I could do a geyser on the tongue and trim it, and my specialist sent it away again. And it came back and he was cancer again for the third time.
That must have been very, very
That was devastating. That was devastating. I was shocked. I couldn't understand why. My doctor, my specialist is a child of God. Where on earth do you get a specialist praying for you before you go into that room, that surgery theater? He was praying for me, and he encouraged me. But he was also very shocked. We didn't expect that. But God didn't discourage me. I trusted God with his journey, doesn't matter what. So they've decided that I had to start with chemo and radiation for 6 weeks. And after the 3rd week of radiation, I got so much weight. My oncologist said, Annette, we're busy losing you. We have got McKinnon to hospital and putting in a feeding tube, which was also very traumatic and painful. And I was very scared. After Kugash, I was in excruciating pain, and it came that I was, I had an infection in the feeding tube where I was putting that in. Kugan treated me with antibiotics as soon as possible, and within a week I was out of hospital, had to go for that feeding tube for almost 3 months, only on insured. So that is a traumatic experience on its own. Up to now, it's 5 years later, and I'm still cancer-free. I was for a check-up now in February, and all my specialists and doctors were happy, and there were actually a doctor who said, is that your tongue? It looks like your tongue. Is that a flap? Actually, is that a flap? I said, yes, this is a flap. And they were very happy with my tongue. And
so it had to grow almost onto the back of your tongue,
yes.
If I understand clearly.
Yeah.
The back of your tongue, and then it took its own shape, or, you know, how it does was, that work?
It was like very swollen and it's ground. It looks like it's not half of my tongue, it's my whole tongue. It's just a little bit at the back that was left over for me to be able to swallow. Otherwise, I had to be on a feeding tube for the rest of my life.
Wow.
So,
I mean, this is not a common cancer. It's
no.
not something that happens regularly. So you must have been a very unique case to actually have this procedure done.
Yes, there are not a lot of people that time that tongue cancer, but that is a cancer that is getting more
regular.
Yes, now, and yes, the cancer is challenging because, you know, it involves your eating, and if you can't eat, how will you survive?
Exactly.
So that was a mental
challenge. Because I want you just to explain to us, you know, obviously lots of demographics change, you know, relationally, you know, spending time. You were just sharing something before we came on the air you know, sometimes when people sort of take you on and not sort of give you that space, when you've actually, it's so important, I mean, to keep you included.
Yeah.
So just give us a little bit of your personal challenges that you had on, you know, just with your relationships and that on the journey.
That can also be, I can also share with you the mental health and,
yes.
And how that affected me, you know. This is a fight that you have to fight with your mind and in the spirit and the flesh. Mm. Now, but the challenges in the flesh was I could not eat, so I had to live on insure through the feeding tube. The feeding tube is a lot of maintenance that needs to be done, cleaning every now and every time you use it, you have to flush it out and clean it out so that no bacteria came in. That is was very difficult for my husband to look at, you know. I used to call it my baby, I'm going to feed my baby. So I had to do a bit of humor in there,
yes.
You know, as well. And I have called it my baby. But you had to put plaster on it because it tends to stretch, you know, out of that wound. And sometimes it was painful. But I had to keep my mind very strong. With social gatherings, with food, God was merciful towards me. I never had an urge or a hunger for food. I could be in social checkups with prize, with family, eating out. I never had a desire. It took the desire for food away. It's only him that could have done that and
yes.
helped me a lot. But I prepared. I will feed myself with insure beforehand, and also kyk aan when I was on smoothies, I would take my smoothie with me or my soup. So, you know, I prepared and that is very important, you know, so that you don't feel like
left out.
And that, or hungry.
Yes. So that was very important. The tongue was very swollen and stiff, and one morning I cried out to God to help me, and there was a shift in my mouth, and I could literally feel how something changed in my mouth, and then the next morning I could swallow. For the first time I could swallow food. Soft foods, I'm sure on soft foods, and I can eat certain chocolate vegetables, but with lots of sauces. So, but certain meats I can't eat. So, eating is a challenge for me. You know?
So you had to adjust your diet and your taste
as well.
I mean, what you would prefer.
Yeah. And, you know, I still, took that work every day. I took communion every day, and I stood on His word that I will restore health to you. You know, the communion was very important to me because, you know, it reminded me of God's 39 stripes that He took for our sicknesses, and cancer was one of the main 39 sicknesses that He took that beating. And that's why communion was is still very important to do. It's not giving in the communion itself. It's just to remind us that through His stripes we are healed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I had to see a speech therapist as well. I had to learn from scratch. First, geckers. Then two geckers work, three geckers work, like on sentences. Because I was a teacher, I got really frustrated with those exercises. And I just decided, you know what, I'm going to sing. I'm going to speak the word of God. I was picking up healing scriptures all over my house, all over my every room, against my walls, and I was speaking those healing scriptures every day over my life, out loud. And this is how my tongue got the exercises, and it improved a lot. And
that is so encouraging. That is beautiful. That is wonderful, because that is exactly where you His healing manifests.
Yeah. And I had to go to a physio also for a few weeks for the stiffness in my neck. And that improved a lot. The challenge is to get my voice be heard, especially in a gathering. You know, people can't hear me clearly, so I felt sometimes that I was using my voice and it was not significant enough, what I'm saying. So that was a thing that I had to deal with emotionally as well, and tell myself, but you are worthy. The enemy tried to take my tongue. He did actually take my tongue, but he can't take my voice. He can't take my soul. I belong to Father. I belong to Jesus, and he can't take that away. So I think, yes, Father accounts on my journey. But there was a reason for that. But before I will share that vision, I would like to talk about the mental health.
Yes, please do. You know, I was going to ask you now with the family also on their side as well. I mean, there's anguish and there's like watching you all the time. You know, is it coming back? You know, all that is like, it must have been like almost as, death spirit hanging around the house all the time. I can imagine, because you never know. Is it going to pop up now? So there's that constant emotional. Trauma.
Trauma, and I was getting depressed, and the anxiety was so, so severe. I would wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, and my tummy would run, and I would feel this flap in my tongue, in my mouth, and think, how am I going to survive? My husband sometimes just hold me and was praying for me and was just crying, and it was just devastating, you know.
Yes.
I was put on medication immediately because I couldn't cope with it. It was so traumatic, and the fear of dying, and with my children as well, you know. At that stage they were older now, but they were with me with this whole 9-year journey, and they had to go for counseling as well, and we had a wonderful support system that to help them to work through their fears. But that constant fear, my husband told me, he had nightmares. He thought I'm going to die.
Yes.
And he had to get a new wife. And that was his fears. And he didn't talk much about it, but I could see it in his eyes. And just to touch on this medication, I got addicted to that medication. So at the end of the 2 years, my psychiatrist had to wean me off the medication. And spiritually, there was a very deeper level of healing that had to take place in my life. Mm. In my life, in my journey, I had a lot of trauma since birth, and I don't want to talk about that now because it's about the cancer
journey. That's another chapter that of your life that was interesting.
But it played a huge role because I had to deal with intensive bitterness, unforgiveness, self-hate. I was like on a spiritual suicide. And the depression and anxiety was part of my life, most of my life. And I had to work, getting after the rush, I had to work through a lot of issues inside. I had to spend time with Father. And I did that. And he healed in a very deep level in my life. You know, he could have done a miracle. I believe in God is a miracle maker. He could have done that miracle overnight. But with my journey, it is a healing journey, and I'm thankful today that I had to go through the healing journey, because he could heal me from deep inner wounds, and I had to go through the deliverances, and I'm free from all medication. Mm. I have overdosed a few times where the enemy wanted to take me out when I was on medication, but I'm telling you this hope, because you can get free from all medication, all that depressions and anxiety and sleeping medication. It's actually not good for your body, but it touches gold, but you can get recovered from that, and God helped me through that journey, and today I'm free of all that medication.
What an encouragement, because I just, when I look at you, you're so beautiful. You cannot believe that you've been through what you've been through. So, you know, Anik, I really believe that you've encouraged people today, and that, you know, even though you never lost your faith in the Lord, but the fact that you held on to onto him throughout this journey, but at the same time you got so much healing of other issues in your life.
Mm.
So, you know, what would your point of encouragement be with this whole journey that we're on?
First of all, my relationship with God is very important. I did it with the word of God, first of all. He gave me scripture on healing, and I could go scripture, and that built my faith in him and my trust in him, that he's going to sustain me. And even in my weakest point, One night I was lying on the floor. I was so, I've lost 30 kilograms in a very short amount of time. And I was crying out to God, and he showed me the valley of the shadow of death, and I saw the death bones around me. I was so scared, and in front of me, I didn't see Jesus, but I've seen Stig in my spirit, and he said to me, "Gorge, look at me. Gorge, look at me." And I looked up, and a peace came over me, and I knew he's going to sustain me through all of that. So that is very important, that that my faith in God, and if you're going through a cancer journey or a sickness, you have to trust in God and the will to fight. You have to fight it with your flesh, with your mind, and with your faith. You can't just do it with your body or
in flesh.
No. I couldn't do it without God. Without
yes.
God, I wouldn't be sitting here today. So in Matthew 9:22, he says, "Take courage, daughter. Your faith has made you well. So believe the word of God, and that will build your faith." Only my faith and trusting in him and holding on to him, irrespective if I'm going to live or he decides to come and take me home. But I felt in my spirit that he has a purpose with his scars, and that he still wants to use his voice and come to declare his faithfulness, his goodness, his provision, his healing, his encouragement, his glory, his goodness, and his mercies. He granted me 9 years from the first diagnosis in 2008 to the second diagnosis, 2017. Up to now, I'm cancer-free for almost 5 years now. He granted me to give my life, to give foolish. I can speak, I can eat. I have so much to be thankful today. And I believe that God wants to use his voice, not only for as a cancer survivor, but many areas of my life that I need to speak out. Today is about the cancer journey, and I just want to say, cancer is not a death sentence. You know, that word, it's like a curse word, you know.
Yes.
It's not a death sentence. But you have to decide to fight, not only mentally, physically, but also spiritually. Your will to give is so important.
Amen. Thank you so much, Anik. We've got so much to share, but it was such a phenomenal testimony. I had to share it today. And we just want to thank you. May the Lord continuously use your, like you say it all so beautifully, you want this experience in your mouth to glorify
Amen.
The Lord.
Yes.
And we just want to bless you, and may the Lord just continuously use you mightily for his kingdom, and that you'll be an encouragement to so many more people that are suffering from cancer. And those that are listening now, I hope you're encouraged that you know that God is the center of every journey that we take, doesn't matter how troublesome it is. So I just want to say goodbye, and thank you so much, Anik, for joining us. We will have you back with you've got another incredible testimony that we would love to chat to you about as well. So, so we just want to say goodbye. And thank you.
Thank you so much.
And we'll see you next week. Be safe and stick to the rules. Yeah. Goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.